Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening. Welcome to The Watchman this Wednesday night as we continue with our study about now so many things. It's supposed to be end time, but I teach on the subject that I feel led to teach about. But there are quite a number of things happening in our world today that I want to talk about. And if you attended the conference, you remember I told you how significant it is, what is going to happen this Friday. And because the Pope is addressing the UN General Assembly. Now, I've told you that that is almost an enactment, so to speak, of Revelation 13, where a one-world government, of which the UN is representative, and the one world religious system, of which the Pope is representative, combined together. And that's Revelation 13. Now what will be left will be the one world economic system, and you have a complete picture of Revelation 13. And remember I told you how significant dates are in the spiritual world, numbers are in the spiritual world. And remember I told you, if you forgot, that most of the numbers used by the occult are 9, 11, 13, and 25. 9, 11, 13, 25, plus 33 as well. Now, of course, there are numbers which the Bible uses for specific purposes. For instance, occult people can hardly ever use 7, because 7 is a number of godly perfection, or, you know, godly, of divinity, really. But we know what the numbers are: 1 beginning, 3 12 of government, divine government. Now those are in the Bible. We know that 11 and 40 are numbers of trial in the Bible, especially 40. And you can see so many times in the Bible where it is presented as a trial. Moses spending 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus spending, the children of Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness as well, Moses spending the 40 years being trained to go and take them out of Egypt, and so on and so forth. That is a sort of trial. Now, I told you the occult use numbers 9, 11, 13, and 25, and 33. And I told you that there is a reason why almost all top Illuminati musicians who try to live die on the date 25th, because it's their number. Now, it's also significant that the Pope is meeting on 9/25. That's when he's addressing the UN General Assembly. That is on 25th of September. Now, these dates are not selected by accident. These dates are selected on purpose. So, this Friday, 9th September, the Pope is already in America. He's going to address the US Congress, Joint Congress, and he's also going to address the UN General Assembly. Now, the more significant one for the world is the one of the UN General Assembly, because it is a coming together of the one world religious system and the one world government. We'll talk about that after it has happened. I'm still doing some things in regard to that study. But before we get into today's lesson, which is more or less a continuation of last week's lesson, I just want to raise a few things. First of all, I want to thank all our partners who make this possible. And I just want you to understand, brethren out there, wherever you are, whenever you feel touched and you send some money for the purpose of this message to go out to the people, you are making it possible. However little that money might appear to be, you are making it possible, and you are really appreciated. Now, initially we had tried to have a system in which we send back SMSs acknowledging receipt of a seed and giving some God bless you, you know, encouragement to everybody who sends. However, it was made impossible because so many people send using mobile money companies and so on and so forth. So they don't send off their own phones. So somebody just goes to the sender and tells him, send this money to this number. So we receive money from all sorts of people. So now it's simple. Now, so it doesn't make sense in that instance for you to send back a message. So that kind of made it difficult. But every time you send a seed, it is acknowledged, it is received well, and we are very grateful for it. And it is because of that seed that The Watchman is able to come here every Wednesday and deliver this message. Remember, this airtime is not free, and remember, it's paid for by you people who send your seeds out there. So I just want to thank you, because you've been very nice people. I came here on the radio station. I started out with money which wasn't mine. There are people who knew what God had called me to do, and when I told them, they decided that they would start me off. But since they started me off, people have been keeping me here, whom I don't even know, people whom I've never even met. But wherever they are, they send their man. Now, the important thing is, even if we do not acknowledge it or acknowledge you individually every time you send the money, the important thing is that God sees it. And that's the purpose for, because it's no point sending it if you didn't think that the Lord God Almighty is the one whom to whom you're giving, and it is His work that you are supporting. Now, I'm going to talk a lot about reward today. But before we get into the message again, I'll talk about Friday's partners meeting. So if you've been a partner, if you've sent money and you pledge to be partners, I looked at the emails. I wanted to check back at the emails to see how many people have pledged to be partners and all sorts of things. But I realized we actually have in excess of 1,200 email messages, and I didn't have the time to go and check through them. So I just decided that since you are nice people, as you have always been, I come here and remind you, if you've been a partner, come and join us for Friday's barbecue. It is free. You don't have to come. You don't have to pay for anything. There is nothing you have to pay for whatsoever. You just come. The only thing we're interested in is your presence, because we want to discuss matters concerning the ministry. We are not calling you to fundraise. So, like I said, don't fear to come thinking that we are calling you to fundraise. We are not calling you to fundraise. We just want to come and appreciate you for everything that you have done as partners from since this ministry began here on radio more than a year and a half ago, 18 months or 19 months ago. So that's the purpose of this. So be there. The place is called Amazing Gardens. It's on Bombo Road. If you don't know it, you just ask. Apparently, it's a known place. I don't know it either. I haven't been there. And it starts at 6 p.m. So if you've been a partner, if you want to be a partner, if you want to be a partake of what this ministry is doing and help us in taking it forward in whatever way you can, just come and be there. We'll really appreciate your presence in that place. So thank you. And like I said, it is free. It is that you don't have to pay for any entrance. You don't have to pay for anything that you eat there. Although, of course, there's a menu and we've paid for a number of people. So just come and be a part of us. Now, today we are talking a lot about reward. And I'm going to read a principle which Jesus has been trying to teach us. Now, this is a continuation from last time where I'm answering, why do some people struggle? Now, this is going to be very important for you. Please listen. You might be disappointed that I'm not talking end time, but this is as important for you as much as for everybody else, because these are some of the questions that people have been asking. And so many people, if I told you the kind of emails that I get and the problems that children of God have, then you know why the Lord leads me to do things like this. Now I'm going to read from a scripture that everybody knows, from Luke chapter 6. Jesus came to teach us how to live a supernatural life. He came to teach us spiritual principles, principles which exist in the spiritual realm and that cannot be altered. Now, it's extremely important that you understand principle which Jesus, it was one of the first things that Jesus spoke about. So I'll read from Luke chapter 6 verse 27. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you." Just listen through this. I'm going to explain to you so many things. "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want them to do good to you, you do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." Remember the word credit. Remember the word credit. What credit is it to you? Jesus said, verse 33, "If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now, of course, everybody knows the Luke 6:38, which says, give and to be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, be given to you. Everybody knows that, but they don't know the earlier part. So the question people ask is that how come, I mean, why is it that some people appear to be sowing and they actually aren't living the life of miracles that the Bible actually promises for habitual sowers? Now, I want to tell you that in the natural realm, the spiritual realm operates with certain laws that cannot be changed, just like the natural realm does. In the natural realm, for instance, there's the law of gravity, and whether you believe it or not, whether you know about it or not, it is applicable to you, and you know that everything that goes up will eventually come down because there is such a thing as gravity. Now, in the natural, we also know Isaac Newton's third law of motion, which says for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, there is a similar law in the spirit. But first of all, in the natural, what that law means, that every time you, for instance, if you push a wall, the wall is actually pushing back at you. If it wasn't pushing back at you, it would have tumbled over. But for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, if you punch a wall, the wall will not move, but it will have punched you back, and you will steal that from the blisters on your wrist, because that will be the reaction, the equal and opposite reaction. Now, I'm not going to get into explaining a natural law, but I want you to understand that there is a similar law in the spirit. And I'm going to call it, from reading that text of Jesus, I'm going to call that law the law of credit and loss. Credit, think about it like credit in a bank. The way you go and put credit in a bank, that is put money, and then you debit, that is withdraw money. So credit and loss, credit and loss. Now, everybody, every time you put something in the bank, you put money in the bank, you expect to have that money back. So if you bank 1 million shillings, you expect that you have 1 million shillings in the bank, and when you need it, you can go and withdraw it. Now, that's how it works. But what if there was something in the bank that was chewing your money, and you put 1 million there, and the next time you turn around, there's only 500,000, and you haven't spent any of that money? Then you turn around and there's only 200,000, and you haven't spent it. What if there was such a thing? Now, there is a similar law in the spirit, and I'll call it credit and debit, or credit and loss. And so I'll tell you this is what Jesus is saying. That he gives this a lot also in the book of Matthew, when in the Beatitudes, when he starts speaking and he's talking about so many things. If you do this, what reward is it to you? What reward is it to you? What reward is he talking about? He uses the word reward actually about 8 times, and then here in this scripture, the word credit is used 3 or 4 times. What credit is it if you do this, if you do that? And then he says, if you do this, there is credit. So some things have credit, some things do not have credit. Now, the spiritual world operates in a way that when you accumulate credit, something happens for you in the natural. That's why Cornelius, remember the man in Acts chapter 10, who was prayerful, but he was a Gentile. He was prayerful and used to give a lot of alms. That's a lot of things to the poor. And the Bible says in Acts 10:4, that an angel showed up to him and told him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial to God. In other words, you've accumulated so much credit that God, something has to happen for you. So God made Cornelius the first Gentile to receive Christ, and actually had to turn around Peter's religion in order for Cornelius to receive the Christ, because something had happened that made him that came up in that way. Now, that is a bit of an expansion, so to speak, of the law of what you sow is what you reap. Now, I want you to see that throughout the Old Testament, there are people who always thought that they could circumvent this law by sowing something bad and reaping something good. And in the life in which we lived, I have seen so many people who think they can sow malice and reap favor, who think they can sow bitterness and reap, you know, good things, love, who think they can sow unforgiveness and reap forgiveness or reap favor. And they keep on thinking that they can do what they want and get what they want, and it's not going to affect them. But they keep on lying themselves. I'll give you an example from the Old Testament. Two examples I'm going to give you before I go and show you in the New Testament, and show you how this system works and how you can turn it around to work in your favor, so that you live a life of miracles day after day. When you need them, they show up. When you need something to happen for you, when you are in a tight spot and you need something to happen for you, it shows up there. Now, here is what here are the two examples I want to give you. First of all, there is the example of Jacob and Esau. Now, Esau is one typical person who thought, and there are so many people who think likewise, that he could get away, he could cheat the exam, so to speak. So he sells his birthright for a plate of food, and he thinks because his father did not know about that, that when his father is dying and is giving out a first son convocation or blessing, that he will still get the blessing. So he wants to get the food and get the blessing. So he wants to cheat the exams. So, but even if his father wasn't there and his father told him, go and get for me, you know, go and kill for me an animal and make for me a good meal, and I will bless you and I will give you the blessing of a firstborn. But Isaac didn't know that. He was blind, he was hungry, he was, you know, he wanted something to eat, and he knew the person who was going to hunt the game was Esau, because Jacob wasn't a hunter. Jacob was somebody who stayed home all the time, what somebody would call as a soul. But his mother, who herself didn't know what had happened between Esau and Jacob, but because Esau had sown carelessness and sown this, somehow his mother's deceit prevailed and Jacob went away with the blessing. Now, was God condoning lying? No. But because somebody had sowed in a certain area, he has to reap in a certain area. Now, everybody, so many people in the modern world think like Esau. They think you are going to sow one thing and reap the other. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, do not be fooled, because so is it for you to fool. Now, we are to be fooled in areas like this. Now, I'm going to go into some of those things that we are talking about. Now, the second example I'm giving you, and now these are stories that just show up, but they are kind of telling us about a serious spiritual principle, which every spiritual law, not principle, law actually, which everybody has to heed to if they are going to make it work for them. Now, of course, in the natural, if you know how a law works, you make it work for you by trying to basically cooperate with it. You don't fight it because it's not going to go away. What you do is you join in it and cooperate with it and make it a reality in your life. Now, I'm going to read for you a scripture, a text from 2 Kings chapter 8. And then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he restored to life, saying, arise and go, and your household, stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman rose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Now listen to this story. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Now it happened, as he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son had been restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that is hers, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left until now. Now, that's an amazing story. Now, it just sounds like one of those Bible stories. But you see, there is nothing in the Bible that is there for nothing. Everything, every single word is there for a reason, from names to places to years and what. Everything is there for a reason. So when you see it there, you know it's there for a reason. Now, you look at this story. This woman was married to an old man, and Elisha used to pass by their place so many times. So she told her husband, that Shunammite woman, she tells her husband that, I perceive that this is a man of God. Therefore, let us build for him an upper room where he will come and rest. So they built a room, put a bed, and put a table and everything, and a lantern. So every time Elisha would pass by that place, you turn in there and he had a place to sleep. And so it was. So now this woman in the speech today was actually accumulating credit on her account by honoring the man of God. So she's accumulating credit on her account by honoring the man of God. Now the man of God tells her, get away from here and go, because there's going to be a famine. So she runs away, and 7 years, people come and take up her piece of land. And in 7 years, she comes back with her son. Her husband, I think, is dead. And she has to go to the king to appeal for them to restore her land. But because she had so many credits on her, so much credit on her account, because of all the good things she had done for the man of God, God works out a miraculous timing, a piece of perfect divine timing, that at the time the woman wants to go to the king to ask for a favor, at the very time the king calls Gehazi, who was a servant of Elisha, and starts asking Gehazi, tell me some of the wonderful things that Elisha did. So at that moment, at that very moment, when Elisha, or rather when Gehazi is telling the king about how Elisha restored the woman's son to life, at that very moment, the woman walks in with her son. And then Gehazi says, aha, this is precisely what I was talking about. Here is the woman, and here is her son. So the king is struck by the divine timing, and he says, so is it true? She says, no, it is true actually. Here is the boy who he restored to life. So because of that divine timing, the king says, go and they give you all your land, and actually let them even give you all the proceeds of the land for all the 7 years that you were away. Now, I want to tell you this. If that woman had come one hour later or 1 hour earlier, she would have been just another person appealing to the king, because there were so many people who would be on a line appealing to a king for restoration. And so, maybe he wouldn't even have given her a request. But because she had so many credits in her system, and you see, when you read backwards, you see that these things don't just happen anyhow. Because she had so much credit on her account, she arrives, God works out something that she arrives at a special time where she's a special person. Why? Because they are talking about her to the king. And because of that divine timing, she gets everything she wants, and she goes and gets back her land and all the proceeds, which was even not what she was asking for. She was not asking for the proceeds, she was asking for the land. But she got more than she bargained for. Why? Because God made it happen by timing, just by divine timing. Now, and I've seen people who are like that, whose lives move on from one divine timing to another. You arrive at a place and suddenly you find somebody who knows you. And that person, you know, and I've seen it happen in my life where I go, I need something from some big place, maybe from some government ministry or something like that. And I show up suddenly, and then somebody who is not even usually there shows up, and he has influence. He says, hey, Joseph, what do you want? I said, I'm here for this. He says, oh, okay, I can help you. And within a short time, what would have taken a long time, takes a very short time because of divine timing. Now, of course, initially, there was a time I used to think that maybe that means I'm famous. But it isn't. It is divine. It is divine. It can happen to anybody. And of course, I am not even famous. But that was just my ego at the time that was disturbing. But the point is, so these things happen. And in actual life, where God sets you up to go at that ministry at precisely the time. So you go to apply for a job, and you're the next person who is being interviewed at precisely the time when the person who is interviewed has just been told that his son got 8 in 8 in S4. So the man is very excited, and you know, he's excited. Then you are because you have credits in your system, you show up at precisely that moment when the man is so happy. Then you say, I'm here to apply for the job. He says, what job do you want? You say, I want this job. He says, are you qualified here? And because of the excitement that is there at the moment, you find yourself getting the job. Now, you could have come earlier when the man was stressed and you wouldn't get the job. But if you have credits in your system, it happens. And it's not that necessarily that God actually makes it happen. It is that this is a spiritual law, and it just plays out this way. Now, this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. That if you love only those who love you, he says, what difference, what credit is that to you? Even tax collectors do that. He says that in Matthew. And if you do good to only those who do good to you, what credit is that? Everybody does that. But he says, but if, however, you love those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you, then you have a lot of credit. You're building up credit systems. Now, remember, he talks about all this, then he says, down, give, and to be given to you. Now, when you learn how to walk in these things, when you learn the principle of how this law works, then you will know how to walk in it, so that every time you sow a seed, you see an instant miracle. You see an instant miracle because you have a lot of credit already accumulated in your system. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the things that, according to the scriptures, that build credit, but I'm also going to tell you some things that chew your credit before you've used it up. And like the account system that I told you about, where you put money in the account and you find it's not there the next day, something has chewed it up and you don't know what. Of course, and all this is in the, read Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and you know, this is precisely what Jesus is trying to say. Every time you're persecuted without a cause and for a righteous cause, and they persecute you because you're standing for what is right, you're accumulating a lot of credit. That credit is going to come out as a miracle at a time when you most need it. Okay? That whole thing of turning the other cheek and things like that, and praying for those who hurt you, praying for those who hate you, praying for those who spitefully use you. That's why I don't like this gospel which says God is going to shame your enemies, you know, is going to prosper you. You know, you make it sound like you're recruiting God on your side against the other side. God is on everybody's side. So he loves those people as much as he loves you. So what makes you this, what distinguishes you is when people hate you and you refuse to hate back. When people, and when you walk in love, and people think these are very small things and they think they will get away with them, but they don't. And then they wonder why they are living lives of struggle. Because you don't get away with these things. And you can, if you did these things when you were not born again, then you got born again, then God of course gives you a clean slate and you start afresh. But remember, there are certain things that you have to really, really have to appreciate. Love, for instance, when you love your enemies, when you love your friends, Jesus says, what credit is that? So, I mean, everybody loves their friends. Now, when you love your enemies and do something that is out of the ordinary, when you love your children, what credit is that? People usually love their children. Okay, I mean, some don't. But what credit is that? However, if you love your stepchildren and you look after them as though they were yours, you are accumulating credit, and it will come to you at a time when you need it. Like this woman, she didn't know, she wasn't doing those things. Remember, Elisha asked her, what can I do for you? Remember that in the scripture, Elisha asked her, what can I do for you? Can I speak to you to the king, speak for you to the king or what? After she had done a lot of good to the man of God, she said, I don't need any good for you. I was just doing that for you because I know you're a man of God. I'm paraphrasing. Imagine somebody who does a lot of good and doesn't want anything back. But then a time came when she actually wanted something back. She wanted to go to the king and she wanted her land back. And Elisha wasn't even there to plead for her. But God made sure that she got back what she had sown. So sowing is not just in money. I want you to understand that. Sowing is in everything you do. So every time you love your adversaries, when you're a woman, okay, you're not happy, your husband went and got children from outside and brought them to you to look after them. Now, because you're a Christian, you decide that, okay, these are just children. It's not their fault that what? This is not an ideal scenario, but what I'm going to do, because I'm a child of God, and because God loves these children, I am going to love them too, because I'm a child of God. Now, don't think those things are not noticed. Things like those build up a credit on your account, and that credit comes to help you at some stage. Pray for those who curse you. Those are things that Jesus is talking about in all those chapters. And, you know, your reward. Your father who sees in secret will reward you openly, the Bible says. So every time you, and Jesus also says, lay up your treasures, okay, in heaven. If you lay up your treasures in heaven, then it will be done for you. Now, people think that you go and get them when you die and go to heaven. No, that's not it. Every time you own a man of God, okay, every time you have mercy on orphans, on widows, on people who are most vulnerable, every time you treat, they are small things, by the way, and the Lord has been teaching me these things, because I'll give you an example. Somebody, it might just be you want something, you want a promotion so badly in your life, but when was the last time you gave your housemaid a promotion in money? When was the last time you shocked her and told her, I've been paying you 200,000, now I'm going to pay you 300,000, without her asking, without her threatening to go, and so on? And yet you can actually afford it. But you will give her what you're giving her just because you know she will take it now, and you know she's not going anywhere, because anyway, what, she has no choice. She has to work for you because she doesn't have any choice. But you see, in scenarios like that, when you do something just out of the goodness, and you say, but you know, this person has been nice to me, has looked after my children, let me surprise her one day and double her salary without her asking, and say, you know what, I've actually decided that now I'm going to start. I'll not pay you 200,000 like I've been doing. I'm going to pay you 400,000. Surprise her. Let her be happy. And you know, what you're doing there is so powerful. Because remember, in the eyes of God, there is no difference between you and her. None whatsoever. Jesus Christ died for her as much as for you. He does not see any difference between you. The differences that you're seeing are just worldly social systems, which do not affect God. So, just because she's vulnerable before you and your servant, doesn't mean that she's not precious in the eyes of God. So when you do something like that to her,
the promotion that you have been praying for, you might not even have to pray for it again. You might just find yourself getting it, and you don't know it had something to do with what you did to your house girl. God says, okay, since you surprised your house girl, who is also my child, or who is also my creation, and Dabo Dasare, I'm also going to surprise you. And then he goes and surprises you, and you get a promotion that you didn't least expected. Or even, how do you know if the one person standing between you and your promotion is not the way you treat the people who are under you? Okay, especially the most vulnerable people. So ever since I learned how these things work, I know that there are certain things that I cannot let get into my life, because they will chew up my credit, which I have been collecting for a long time. Okay, now Jesus says, you remember those scriptures when he says that when you pray, don't pray like the other Pharisees pray. They come in the synagogues and pray loudly. Okay, that's not what you're saying, but you're saying basically pray to be seen. And what does he say? He says they've already had their reward, because they were praying for the show. Therefore, there is no extra reward. The show is the only reward they are getting, which means if you pray well, there is a reward in it. Okay, then he said the same about fasting. He said, the Pharisees, when they fast, they pour ash on their head, and they stand at the street corners, and they look very terrible, so that everybody knows Bambi, the man is fasting. He says they have their reward. There is no extra reward other than that, because they are not banking anything on their credit. They are not banking anything on their account. The only thing they are doing is getting the show. He says, but you, when you fast, go anoint yourself, look nice, let nobody know that you're fasting. God who sees that you're fasting, God who knows that you are fasting, is going to reward you openly. Okay, because when you do things like those, you are banking things on your credit, you're banking credit rather on your account. So and giving, he says, when you give alms to the poor, don't do it for the show. Okay, you know, philanthropy, yes, one so well gives what, you know, and the world is full of such rubbish, where people give purely to be seen, and they have their reward. Some of them, that's all the reward they need. But for you, if you need to be rewarded by God, you do it in a different way. Now, of course, this is talking about giving alms. This is not talking about giving in church and giving to the work of God. Giving alms, the reason Jesus says that when you're giving alms, you should do it in secret, is because he wants you to protect the dignity of people who are in need. Okay, for instance, if you come to me and they are chasing you out of your house because of rent, and I gave you money for rent, if I dared went and told people that, look at that guy, I'm even the one who paid his rent, I have taken away all the credit I got. I have consumed all the credit I got, because I'm not protecting your dignity. Now, the reason God says that you should do it, your left hand shouldn't know what your right hand is doing, as a figure of speech, is because he wants you to protect the dignity of that person. Now, if you came to me when you are in dire problems, you didn't have food in your house, or you are out rent, and I helped you out, I'm not going to tell anybody. Nobody. Because if I told somebody, I have not protected your dignity, and that means all the credit that I had banked is lost, so there is no credit for me. And yet I actually give it, because I also want, I'm doing it to help you, but I know, because God loves you and God loves giving, I'm banking some credits in my spiritual account, so to speak. I hope this is making sense to some of you. So that's what happens in some of you people see unbelievers getting away with things. Now, when somebody is a wicked people can do anything and get away with it. He will cheat everybody, turn everybody upside down, and do this and steal and send people back to the village and what, and they get away with this. But you see, for them they can get away with it because they have all of eternity to pay for it. But for you, if you're a believer, you're going to heaven. In heaven, there is no punishment, there is only a reward. So some of these accounts have to be settled on earth. Now, just because some wicked man is doing it there, for him, he's going to go to hell, and he has all eternity to pay for everything he has done wrong. Now, for you, if you're a believer, you're going to heaven, and you mistreat people, some of those accounts have to be settled here on earth before you go to heaven. Okay? Because heaven is only a place for what? For reward. So just know that don't do things the way the unbelievers do them. Just because you see somebody doing it, so you see people, he's tossing around everybody, he's refusing to pay people just because he can refuse to pay them and there's nothing they can do. Then he even tells them, what are you going to do? You do what you can do. And then you think that also as a Christian, you're going to do that. Let me tell you, even the wicked people, if they overdo it, a time comes when haven't you read James chapter 5 and verse 1? It says, come now, rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten.
your gold and your silver corroded, and the corrosion will be a witness against you, and you will, and will eat your flesh like fire. For you have heaped up treasure in the last days. And it says, indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, that means that even wicked people, you can do it to, and when people cry out to God, and punishment has to come out because you've cheated people, and it gets to a point where you cry out, and one way or another, their cries reach the Lord of the Sabbath. So, now that's even for wicked people. He's not talking about the rich of the church here, James. He's talking about the rich of the world. You, as a child of God, know that God wants love. Love is the fulcrum of everything that is about God. Do you love people? If you want to know what love is, read 1 Corinthians 13. And I read that scripture some of the time. And every time I look at the things where I can default, okay? If somebody tells me something and I get angry and I answer rudely, the Bible says love does not respond rudely. So I remind myself, okay, that wasn't love. I should not have responded rudely. And I know that God is love. And everything that is done in love has a big reward. One of the ways of accumulating so many points or so much credit. Remember the word credit, I'm picking it from the Bible, from Luke 6. One of the ways of accumulating so much credit is by loving. Loving especially people who are unlovable. Loving people who don't love you back. Loving people who do not deserve it. Okay? Remember the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that if I bestow, and verse 3, if I bestow all my goods to the poor and I give my body up for boasting, although that Bible says that it might be burned, and I have not love, remember it says it profits me nothing. So even giving has got to be done in love. You have to give in love. Love for God, love for His word. I love this, I love the word of God, I love the preaching of the word of God. I wish everybody would listen to this message and be prepared for the return of the Lord. Therefore, because of all this love, I am going to give with the motive of love. When you give, you cannot fail to get a reward. You cannot fail to get a reward. It is just a matter of time and a short time, and that reward will be out there. When you honor men of God, the Bible says you honor as a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward, and you honor as a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Matthew 10:41. And he says, whosoever gives as much as a glass of water to these my servants shall by no means miss his reward. Now he's talking about this reward system. So I'm showing you how this reward system works. Okay? Show mercy, show goodness, show mercy, and show love. Okay? Be merciful. The Bible says those who sow mercy, judgment is without mercy to those who have no mercy. So you, according to James 2:13, so sow mercy, sow goodness, sow love. So, love people and see how it is not going to work for you. You're building up a credit system that is definitely never going to fail you. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the things that chew up credit, and you'll see why some people struggle. Okay, I told you every time you pray, give first with the right motives, you're putting credit on your account. Every time you administer justice. Now, I remember a time long ago when I took a special hire, and I told this man that, look, you man, you have no fuel in your car. And because I could see the light was red. And the man tells me that, no, I have fuel. Mwegari. I told him, but you don't have fuel. He says, no, mwegari. So anyhow, I said, okay, if you say so. So we drove. Now, I was somewhere. Then fuel ran out. Then the man jumps up, and when I told him that we were at a petrol station, and he refused, now the man jumps up and starts doing what? Getting a jerry can to run to the petrol station, and he expects me to sit in the car. I was so angry because I had warned him, so I just stood up and left, and I did not pay him a coin. However, I was supposed to pay him probably about 60,000 shillings from what I remember. Okay, I'll give an example because I don't remember the exact figure. But in my estimation, we had probably gone a distance of around 40,000. So even when I jumped out and went into another special, I just paid them that extra bit. And I could get away with that because I had warned the man and he had failed to deliver me where he was supposed to deliver me. But after I'd done that, I felt the Lord telling me, is that fair? The man had driven you some distance. Okay, he did not take you to where you were supposed to go, but at least pay him for the distance he drove you. So that niggled at me a bit, so I felt a bit, and I was not being just. So I actually went to the special hire stage, and I looked for the man, and I said, where is this man? Until I met him. I actually met him sometime later, and I gave him the money, and he was even shocked because he had forgotten about it. But for me, it settled my heart, because I know that when I am just, God expects me to be just, because he is just. Now, when I am just, I know that I build credit on my system, and that credit, well, will come at a time when I need it. I will be able to go and withdraw when I need that credit. So, things like those. Now, I want you to know that. Now, giving, of course, is one of the major ways in which you build credit. But before I talk a bit about the giving thing, let me tell you some of the ways in which people chew their credit. Okay? Remember Jesus saying, whoever is angry at his brother and says, Rakau, you fool, yeah, is in danger of judgment. Those are the things, small things that you think are small. Now, there was a time I was driving, and a boda man felt had made a bad turn and put him in danger. Now, that was so many years ago. And so he turned around and started abusing me. Now, because he said so many things, okay, not so many things, but hurtful things, I just turned around and told him, Gureiyo, which means you buy your own car. And as soon as I said those words, I felt so bad inside me. And I had to go home and repent and say, God, I am never again going to underlook somebody who doesn't have a car. Because I know that something as small as that. Now, for him, he can say all he wants to say. I mean, but for me, I live by different standards. Now, as soon as I said it, I knew that I should never have said it. And I repented of it and moved on. Now, small things, which you think are insignificant, but count for a lot. Now, one of the biggest things that chews your credit. So you give, you're not seeing a return. One of the biggest things that chews your credit, more than anything else, is unforgiveness. That's why Jesus said, when you come to the altar and you with your gift, and you remember that you have something against somebody, he says, leave the gift there. Don't first wait to give it. First go and reconcile with your neighbor. Then come back and give after you've reconciled. Why does Jesus say that? Because if you give it when you're still in unforgiveness, whatever credit you would have banked, has actually already been chewed up by unforgiveness. When you have accumulated a lot of credit on your account, and it is time for you to get a miracle, then some man will come from somewhere and annoy you, and you get aggravated, and if you remain in unforgiveness, you're chewing up all your credit. So when it's time to go and withdraw, there is nothing. And you say, but I banked here some money. But you chewed it up through your unforgiveness. Now, and that is the easiest way of chewing up. Now, I wish you knew how important. And somehow, for some reason, the churches do not teach this. They teach sins are, wenzi, what, and all those things, which of course are sins. But they don't understand how important, how powerful it is that you forgive everybody. Now, anybody who comes and tells me I've done this, nothing is working out, almost all the time there is a bit of bitterness in their heart. Sometimes they're even bitter towards God. I remember some friend of mine said, I'm going to tell you a story about some guy, they preached about forgiveness. Then he stood up and said, God, I have forgiven you, God. Then he says, you've hurt me a lot, you've hurt, but now I've decided to forgive you. Now some of you don't even know that. God has nothing against you, of course. I mean, there is nothing he has done to you. If you think there is anything bad he has done to you, it is the devil who is deceiving you. God has nothing bad to do to anybody, even those who hate him the most. He has nothing bad to do with him. But of course, Liz, you have to understand that some of the things that unforgiveness, unfulfilled oaths. I hate asking people to oath. How many people are going to what? We are collecting money for this. How many people are pledging money? So people stand up because of the show, because of the excitement, because somebody has preached a powerful message in which they were standing on their chairs. Somebody stands up and says, I'm going to give 1 million shillings. And as soon as he goes home, he realizes that he probably cannot afford, or he doesn't even want to give the 1 million shillings. So he doesn't give it. So life goes on. Nobody is going to come and put a pistol on his head because he didn't give the money. But he's chewing up his credit, or even the money he gave, because of unfulfilled oath. Yet if he had not pledged to give anything, it wouldn't have affected him at all. So don't let people excite you into pledging things and then you regret them later. Because if you pledge them, go ahead and do it. If you try as much as possible, not to pledge anything until you've thought it through 100% and you know that you are going to do it and you want to do it and you're not just making the pledge in the heat of the moment. Because so many people are experts at getting people in the heat of the moment and making them to pledge things. So unfulfilled oath, judgment, judging other people. Judging means sitting in the seat of God and censuring other people. That chews up credit like no man's business. Okay? Speaking ill of people, especially of dignitaries. The Bible says in the book of Jude that there are people who are dignitaries. Dignitaries are those people who are above you spiritually. Who are above you spiritually. Do not be careful before you start speaking about people who are not at your spiritual level. Just leave them alone. Even when they do something silly, and sometimes people, just because people are at a higher spiritual level doesn't mean they are perfect. Even when they do something silly, don't add your word to it. You just look at it and keep quiet. Because every time you utter something, speak ill of somebody like that, you are chewing up your credit. You're chewing up your credit yourself by those words. So be careful about the words you say, especially about people who are not at your spiritual level, people whom the Bible calls dignitaries. Things like malice. Okay, now even in churches today, and I've seen this because of course I've attended so many churches. I've been born again since 1992. Okay, so I've been in so many churches, through so many churches. Now these, whatever I know, there are so many people who believe that they can sow malice and reap favor. And when they say favor, 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 they say amen, amen. But you are very malicious. It is not going to happen. It is not. You're sowing something else. Whatever a man sows, that he reaps. If you want favor, you have to sow favor. And you'll get favor. Okay? Don't think you're going to sow malice. And I remember there was some church I attended, and there was this woman who was a bit advanced in years, but hoping to get married and believing to get married. But every time she had that somebody else was getting married, she would go and try to badmouth the girl and talk to the man and say, this girl you're going to marry is so fake. She even watched. She has even had 3 abortions and what. Of course, many of the things she said were lies. Anyway, so she succeeded in undoing so many engagements through her bad mouth, and even succeeded in separating so many people who were already married through her bad mouth. And if you ask her, she thinks she's going to get married. But let me tell you, She is not, because she is sowing and sowing and sowing, and she's going to come back to haunt her in that instance. So do not be one of those people who think you can sow malice, sow envy, sow bitterness, and you receive favor and love and miracles. It is not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. And I'm telling you, it is not going to happen that way. Now let me tell you other things that even some people do not tell you. Strife, sowing strife. Okay, I've been in churches. Thank God for the grace, the grace that is in me, because I never was in a church where I stood up and contradicted the word of the pastor, because I didn't have a church of my own. I was attending other people's churches. Now I don't sow strife whatsoever. When the pastor said something, if I want to be under his ministry, I obeyed the pastor. I do not have a second voice under somebody's ministry, because I don't want to sow strife. Now those are the things which cause people problems. Now, when I saw that somebody was no longer going to build me to take me to the next level, I leave silently. I just wake up one day and I leave silently. I do not leave with a splash. I do not leave trying to tell everybody else to leave. I just leave silently. And I do not contradict the pastor. The pastor does not say this and I say the other. No, he's the leader. There is no system can have two heads. The only thing that has two heads is a monster. So if you are in somebody's ministry, listen to the top of the ministry. If you don't want to be there, leave, and leave silently. Don't leave by announcing to everybody, I'm going. You go. Who brought you there? You go on your own. Let the man continue with his ministry. Now those are small things which were not sowing strife. I'll tell you something else. Neglect of your parents. Those things chew up points like do you know 1 Timothy 5 says that if anyone does not take care of his household, he has rejected the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's what the Bible says. I did not write that, I hope you know. Anybody who does not take care of his household. Now, you're there living a good life, but there is some girl you impregnated when you're in university or somewhere earlier on, and you let her suffer with the kid, and you are not even helping her pay. Now the mother is paying school fees and suffering alone and what, and because you can, you're not helping her, and you're not helping her because there's nothing she can do. But you think you're going to see blessings, but Remember, you're sowing in a certain direction. You're chewing up your points. If you gave birth to somebody, maybe you were broke at the time and you couldn't help it. Go back and look after that child. That is what the Bible says. The Bible says whoever does not take care of his own has rejected the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's what the Bible says. Okay? And the Bible says those who are grown up should repay their parents for what their parents did. If you're here in town having a good life and your mother is somewhere in the village being eaten by jiggers, you are chewing up your points, because God knows what that woman did for you to be where you are, or that man. Okay? So every time you get a windfall, remember your parents. Remember that child whom you neglected so long ago, even if it has been years. Go and look out for that child and tell the mother, "I am sorry, I denied the child, but I know this is my child. I am very sorry. Now, can I take responsibility? Can I start looking after the child?" If she does not want you into the child's life, at least give her the money and say, "Now, at least let me be paying school fees, even if the child, you don't want me to know the child." The point is, remember what the Bible says, okay? Now, other things. Mistreating your wife. You're chewing up your credit because you're mistreating your wife. Remember the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7 that giving honor to your wife as to a weaker vessel, so that your prayers are not hindered. Okay? Now you might be wondering why, but remember, it might be because you're mistreating your wife and you're chewing up your own credit. Or, and I'm telling you things which are in the Bible, and by the way, in the New Testament, all of them in the New Testament. Amen. Amen. I'm saying this so that you people, grace people, don't say I'm teaching the Lord. All this is in New Testament. And by the way, the person who wrote that you've neglected, you've rejected the faith and is worse than an unbeliever is the Apostle Paul, the same man who wrote Romans. Okay? So, do not try to neglect this, because you will see how it will manifest in your life. Now, disregarding authority is another thing that chews up so many people's credit. You disregard the authority in your life. Now, that includes wives over husbands. Just because your husband earns less than you doesn't mean that God's order is changed. God is not going to change his order because you got a good job. You might even end up losing that job because you're dishonoring your husband. Okay? Now, I had this Joyce Meyer saying this. God told her that if you dishonor your husband, you cannot have that big ministry that you have. Because God's order is an order. He established authority figures, and they are never going to change because of anything. Now, it is easy, I would think, it would have been easy for somebody like Joyce Meyer, because she's the one who is known across the world, to think, "I'm the celebrity." But God tells her, if you want to have that, you have to respect and honor your husband, because that is here in the book. God is not going to change anything for you. So, dishonoring authority, and that includes your husband, your boss, and small things, even bosses and what. You dishonor your boss, you do something contrary, you are the person who causes divisions in work, and you wonder why you don't have favor. And you will not have it because you're not sowing into favor. You're not sowing to receive favor. Now, those are some of the things. But now I want you to know that if you learn how to walk in love, then all the seed you sow will reap immediately. Now, I'll tell you there are different kinds of sowing. Now, very briefly. Tithe, you do tithe out of obedience, because the Bible says you obey tithe. But remember, I told you the principles of tithe, that you connect with somebody's grace, the grace on somebody's life through your tithe. So when you tithe into somebody's ministry, if you tithe, for instance, into this ministry, you connect with the grace that is on this ministry, and any increase that is on this ministry is yours automatically. You have a right to it. Okay? Of course, giving alms to the poor. Remember, I told you when you do that, you do not tell anybody. That's what the Bible says. Then, of course, there's first fruits. Now, first fruit giving is, if you got a job and gave your first salary as a first fruit, you are guaranteed. I wish people would learn how to use these principles. You'll see how that job will turn around. I've seen people who got a promotion in 3 months, within a short time, within 1 year, they have got like 4 promotions, and all because of a first fruit. And it somehow opens up favor. And of course, the other one is the seed offering, the seed giving. Seed means things like partnership, and also big seed. You just give, you've given your tithe and what, but then you said, "I just want to sow a seed into what is happening here." So you sow a seed. Now that is where the money is, because that is where you get 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. If you're a tither and you give a seed, that's where you get 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Seed includes even partnership. When you partner with a ministry, every partnership seed that you give, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's what the Bible, that's where that thing works. So especially if it is done consistently and not intermittently. If you do things when you feel, intermittently, if you give partnership, It's when once, then you, after 3 months, you remember, and what, there is a blessing, but it can never be the same. Now, when somebody does it consistently, within 1 year, everything about their life has changed. I'm telling you this. I have been partnering with a certain ministry, and within, if the things, if I told you how far I've gone in 1 year, you'd be shocked. Because I'm consistent, I partner every month. Every beginning of month, I send my partnership seed, also by mobile money, to that ministry, and I do it faithfully. Faithfully, nobody needs to remind me, because I know how important it is. Now, those are some of the things that you put. Now, if you do these things, if you walk in love and do the things that I told you before last Tuesday, and then you learn how to make this principle work in you, bank points by being good to nice people. I mean, being good to poor people, being good to people who don't like you. Don't let anybody chew up your points by getting you angry. Never get don't let somebody come and get you into anger, bitterness, and what. You're chewing up your own credit. Remain in love. When somebody comes and does not love you, love him back. That's how the thing was. And every time you love back somebody who does not deserve loving back, you are earning a lot of credit. Okay? A lot of credit. Because you're doing something that is out of the ordinary. Now, every time you look after children who are not yours, you're getting a lot of credit. Because when you look after your children, there is nothing special about that. Every serious person does that. But when you look after children who are not yours, then you're getting a lot of credit. And it comes out at some stage. It will manifest in form of a miracle, in form of something special that you might not even know. And you don't even know that something bad was going to happen. Everything's happening in the spiritual realm, and people are seeing you and wondering that, why is this guy always seeming to be blessed? Now, end with this story. There's this gentleman who was telling me some time ago that he had applied for a job. There was somebody telling me about a gentleman who had applied for a job, and he was the best person in the interview. So, and he knew he was the best person in the interview. But when they called him to start work, they had stolen his phone. So his phone was off. So they called him 1, 2 days, 3 days. You're still looking for money, of course, to buy another phone. So they said, this guy, it seems, is nowhere to be seen. So they gave the job to the second placed person. Now, when he put back his phone, he called back and said, you poor, I won the interview, I've been waiting. They said, no, we called you for 2 days and your phone was off. So we gave the job to the person who was second. And this man was saying, what's wrong with me? Now, I'm telling you, the way I know, the way the spiritual realm works, the other second guy might not have been sharp, but he had more credit systems and was due a miracle. So, this man's phone is stolen, and the other guy gets it. Why? Because the other guy is like the other Shunammite woman. Something has to happen for a miracle to happen in your life, even if it means somebody loses his phone. Or like Jacob, where even if it means your mother decides to just lie, but you did something and you're due a blessing. It has to happen, even if your father doesn't want to give it to you, but somehow something has to happen and he will give it to you by force. Because in the spiritual realm, you've banked enough points in your system. And somebody whom you're dealing with has been living a careless life, hating people, what, despising people, and doing what, and mistreating everybody, and he thinks he's going to sow. So don't be that fool who thinks that you are going to sow bad and reap good. That is not what the scripture says. And we're talking New Testament, Galatians, you know, which also talks about law and grace. So know that what you sow is eventually what you reap. No, that's one of the reasons that so many people in the church suffer. Now, or rather, are not seeing the sort of miraculous life that they are supposed to be seeing, moving from one miracle to another. I'll just end by reminding you, everybody, first of all, partners meeting, barbecue Friday, the day after tomorrow, Amazing Gardens on Bombo Road, starts at 6 p.m. And all of you are invited to come, and all partners, okay, all Watchman partners are invited to come and join us for that, as we discuss how to take this ministry forward. If you want to partner with this, we really have a lot of plans that we have to do. We have to go and, you know, take these gospel places. And there are certain things that God is now telling me to do that we are going to begin doing. Now, we need more partners. We need as many partners as possible. So if you're led to tithe, to sow a seed and what into this ministry, please do so. If you want to ask any questions, send an email on ugandanwatchman@gmail.com and I will answer it. But if you want to send money and you don't want to use email, so many people have problems with emails, you want to send money, the number is 0780-292-555. I'll say it again, the number is 0780-292-555.
Now, I thank you so much. I mean, I thank so many people who have really, really been connecting with us in regard to this, who have made all of this possible, by the way. If you're out there and you've sent money to that number and you've been tithing or sowing, partnering faithfully, you have done such a powerful job in making sure that this message is spread. Now my work is to fight, is to, you know, continue seeking the Lord to give me what's happening in the world and coming and telling people. But I would not have been able to do all of that unless some people out there took of their finances and actually sold into this piece of work. Thank you so much for being with us. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.